In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is based on Jonah chapter 1, especially focusing on verse 2. But Jonah arose and fled from the presence of the Lord. Just about 2 months ago, the men from this year's graduating classes of our seminaries received their call into the holy ministry. The calls came in from congregations all over the world. Some went into foreign countries, others into the various states of our country. Some went to remote rural areas, others were sent to large suburban areas. Each one of these calls, no matter how spread apart they were, had one common denominator: to preach the gospel in its truth and purity, and to administer the sacraments faithfully. The call into the holy ministry should not be taken lightly. As C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, writes so clearly in his 20th evening lecture of Law and Gospel, he says, "When a place has been assigned to a Lutheran candidate of theology where he is to discharge the office of minister, that place ought to be to him the dearest, most beautiful, and most precious spot on earth. He should be unwilling to exchange it for a kingdom, whether it be a metropolis, or in a small town, or in a bleak prairie, or in a clearing in the forest. To him it should be a miniature paradise." He goes on, "Do not the blessed angels descend from heaven with great joy whenever the Father in heaven sends them to minister to those who are to be heirs of salvation? Why then should we poor sinners be unwilling to hurry after them with great joy to any place where we can lead other men, our fellow sinners, to salvation?" Now obviously, the prophet Jonah had not read Walther's 20th evening lecture in Law and Gospel. He did not see Nineveh as a miniature paradise. Nineveh was the absolute last place in which Jonah wanted to go. Jonah was very hesitant to go to Nineveh, as I am sure many candidates who are assigned to their congregations are hesitant. Speaking of Christ takes guts, often more than we can muster. We rationalize, what good can my puny words do? But the message remains God's and not ours. He does great things through his servants speaking his word. God does great things even in the most unlikely situation. When Jonah was called by the prophet to preach repentance to the Assyrian city of Nineveh, he was entrusting him with a most important office. He was to preach repentance to the forgiveness of sins. It's no wonder why Jonah was skeptical. After all, how many great cities favor in being rebuked by a foreigner? But God commanded Jonah to preach against their sinfulness. A task like this surely calls for guts. How many of us would like to be singly sent to a city of 120,000 unbelievers? Nothing would seem more preposterous or more impossible than this task. But God's work usually begins in the most unreasonable and impossible situation. As the blessed Dr. Luther writes, "This is done for our good, so that we might believe and put our trust in God alone. For it is God alone who speaks through us. It is God alone who causes repentance. It is God alone who forgives. It is God alone who gives growth to his church through his word and through his spirit." No matter how foolish or impossible the situation may appear to us, God carries out what he says through his word. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. It really shouldn't shock us that Jonah arose to flee to the sea away from the presence of God. He didn't want to be part of God's compassionate plan to save the city of Nineveh. Jonah himself says later in chapter 4, verse 2, "I fled to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Jonah didn't want to see God's mercy and compassion extending to these unbelieving people. He viewed them as beyond the saving grace of God. After all, what could such people deserve who do not have the divine law and divine worship? They were not deserving of his grace and his word because they were not his chosen people, the Israelites. This is the exact reason for Jonah's departure. He deplores the fact that God could be so gracious and so merciful to want to send a servant to Nineveh. He would rather die than see God's grace and mercy extend to these people. Can God's mercy, grace, and compassion really extend to the most wicked of sinners? Jonah didn't want to find out. He had a plan. Instead of going to Nineveh, he boarded a ship and set sail away from the presence of the Lord. Perhaps by fleeing, he could frustrate the divine will of God. Did Jonah really think that he could flee from God's presence? Jonah wasn't so ignorant to know that God is omnipresent. He knew the Psalms, which declare, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there." Jonah knew full well that he could not escape from the presence of the Lord. Or could he? Jonah was not trying to flee from the natural essence of God, but from the spiritual presence, his manifestation in divine worship in the temple. In fleeing from the temple, Jonah was withdrawing from the divine service of God, the exact place where he reveals himself in word, spirit, faith, and worship. Jonah went to the sea among a host of unbelievers where there was no word, no faith, no spirit, no worship. In fleeing from the divine presence of the Lord in worship, Jonah sinned grievously. Jonah should have merely accepted God's divine will and have been most happy to carry it out. It is easy for us this morning to find the exact place where Jonah sinned. But how often do we follow in his footsteps? How often do we question his will? How often do we question the power of his word in the most seemingly impossible situation? We question, can God's word really be effective in the 1990s? Can he really work through such lowly, natural, simple elements as the oral word, water, bread, and wine? We rationalize. Perhaps if we were to use this marketing principle or this latest method, then the church would really grow and be successful. Can his preaching and the catechesis of his word alone really bring sinners from darkness into his marvelous light? Can God's grace and compassion really extend to the most wicked of sinners? This is exactly what Jonah was questioning. We, like Jonah, are guilty of fleeing from the presence of God. We have sinned against him in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Like Jonah, we deserve to be hurled into the sea, to suffer 1,000 deaths because of our sinfulness. But thanks be to God. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God did not let us flee from him. His love was too great for that. He did not despise us, But instead, he sent his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to take our place, to suffer our death for our sins on the accursed tree, and to give us new life through his victorious resurrection. The great news for us is that Christ has not fled from us, but he has called us to be his children, to be heirs of eternal life through the waters of his baptism. Christ's great word says to you, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Through the prophet Jonah, God did great things. Nineveh was brought to repentance. And so God uses his pastors and his lay people today to speak his word in order that sinners may be brought from darkness into his glorious saving light. With joy and zeal, may we serve him in our assigned miniature paradises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.